Today, we will read Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 39. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that today you would speak to us. Lord, guide us. Show us what it is that you want us to learn. Open our hearts that we are ready to hear your word, that we are ready to respond and obey and follow you. Lord, I pray that you would guide us today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and make us more like you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 39. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples,
"Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?"
Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." They said to him,
"John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking."
Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable. "No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say the old is better. In today's reading, we see Jesus healing a paralyzed man. Now, all these people were coming to him, bringing the sick, and some men had a friend who was paralyzed. He couldn't walk, so they carried him to Jesus. But there were so many people, they couldn't get through. And so they did what they had to do. They climbed up onto the roof of the house, took some of the roof tiles off, and lowered their friend down in order to be healed by Jesus. They longed for their friend to be healed. Jesus saw their faith and told the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Now the Pharisees, the religious leaders, saw this and they were angry. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus said, in order to show that he can forgive sins, he'll heal the man. And so he said, "Get up and walk." And the man did. Several things that stand out from this portion of the story of today's reading. First, it reminds me that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. Yes, he was healing, but for him, the important thing was the forgiving of sins. That was why he came. You see, for Jesus, that was more important than the fact that the man couldn't walk. He healed both, but for him, the forgiveness of sins was more important. I think oftentimes we see sin as being unimportant. We don't realize what sin does to us and how it affects our spiritual lives. We don't realize that sin paralyzes our spirits. It cripples us so that we cannot walk with God. Sin paralyzes us. And even though we don't see it, and many times don't feel it, sin can bring us to a stop. And our souls can be sick and paralyzed so we can't move spiritually. But Jesus came to heal that. And to demonstrate that he had the power to heal our sick, diseased, paralyzed, dead souls, he brought this man healing. He healed this man so that he could get up and walk. Now, the religious leaders were angry because they still didn't understand who he was. They said, "This is horrible. This is blasphemy. It is speaking against God to forgive this man's sins. Only God can forgive sins." But what they weren't understanding was that Jesus is God. Jesus is God in the flesh who came to live among us. And that is why he had the power, the authority, and the right to forgive sins. And that is why he came. We see this in the next section. As Jesus calls Levi and eats with his friends. Now, as a tax collector, Levi was considered to be a bad person. The Jews hated him because part of his job was to collect taxes from them and give them to the Romans. The Jews did not want to be under Roman rule and felt that the taxes were wrong. that they shouldn't have to be paying money to a foreign power. But Levi was doing this job. Now, oftentimes, another reason that tax collectors were hated was that many of them were dishonest. That they would be told, okay, you must collect this money from them. They would go to the people and say, oh, you owe this much, which was often more. So if the government said, oh, you must collect 10 coins, they would go and say, you owe 15 coins. They'd give the government 10, they'd keep 5 for themselves, or whatever. And so they were hated. They were considered to be bad people. But Jesus calls him and says, come and follow me. What's interesting is that as you compare the passages, we believe that this is actually Matthew, the man who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. You see, Jesus called him. He left his life. Now, Levi would have been his Hebrew name. Matthew would be a Greek name that was given to him, similar to Simon Peter. Simon was his name, but Jesus gave him a new name. Jesus gave Matthew a new name as well. He gives us a new name as he calls us, and we leave our old life and follow him. We have a new identity in him. And that's what happens here, that Levi or Matthew leaves his life and follows Jesus. And then he brings many of his friends to see and hear. Now, the Pharisees are upset. Why is Jesus hanging around these bad people? But look at what Jesus says in verse 31 and 32. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to lead people back to God. As people were full of sin and far from God, one of the main purposes of why Jesus was here, the main reason, this was his goal, was to bring people back to God. And so this is what Jesus was doing. Now, again, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, don't understand. They are only looking at the outside, at the surface. And so when they see him with these bad people, they think, how can he do this? How can he relate to them? But Jesus is calling us to take his light, his hope, his love into the dark world, into the world where people are not following him. That's what we're called to do. And so at the end, the religious leaders are also just asking Jesus about his followers, that they're not doing what the Pharisees, what the religious leaders would expect them to do, that they are used to seeing people going through these very strict religious practices of fasting, of doing all of these things, sometimes for show, sometimes in the outside. In other parts of the Bible, God accuses people of fasting on the outside, but their hearts still being far from God. And here, the Pharisees ask Jesus about his disciples. Why aren't they fasting? John the Baptist's disciples fast. The Pharisees' followers fast. Why aren't yours? And Jesus said that they will fast. But at the time's not right. Why should they bring down their joy at having the bridegroom with them? And so it's a picture that at a wedding, people are celebrating. They're not fasting at a wedding. They're not saying, oh, I'm going to be spiritual. No, they're full of joy and celebrating. And that is what his followers are doing. They are rejoicing in Jesus, in the new life that they are finding, in the hope. Jesus says at some point they will fast, but right now is not the time. That would be like drinking new wine instead of old. It would be like taking a patch from the new cloth and putting it onto the old. Now, the patch from the cloth, I think, is very obvious, that you wouldn't take a new shirt or a new outfit and cut part of it out to patch something old. That would be ridiculous. Just like that, Jesus has a new life. You wouldn't take that and try to connect it to the old ways. The new wine, that new wine would be very harsh, very sour, but as it sits, as it ages, it mellows, it becomes sweeter. And in the same way, Jesus offers them a newer, sweeter way to God. Why would they want to go back and take these old, harsh, difficult things and add it to that? For our lives, we need to be careful not to think that adding difficult religious practices makes us more spiritual. Now, there is a time for fasting, as Jesus said. I fast sometimes, and it helps me remember my dedication to God, and it helps me remember that I should hunger and thirst for God. But it is not a religious practice that in itself gives me righteousness and holiness. That comes from Jesus, from God alone. And so Jesus is contrasting the old way of trying to be good enough and follow all of these rules with a new way of mercy and of grace, a new way of forgiveness of sins. As I look at today's reading, some of the things that stand out are just remembering that Jesus offers forgiveness of sins. And I need to embrace that. I need to turn from anything that is sinful and taking me from God and follow Him. I need to leave that old way of life and follow Jesus and rejoice in the freedom, in the power, and the mercy and grace that we find in Him. Lord, I pray that You would show us things that we need to change. Lord, sin can cripple us. It can paralyze our spirits. So Lord, help us turn and repent, turn back to You, and then free us from the sin that keeps us from You. Forgive us of that sin and set us free from its power, that we can walk with You. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.